If you'll go ahead and turn to the book of Leviticus, please. Leviticus 19, verse 32 had nothing to do with me at one time. Now, it says here. Now, just for a background, you notice 19 is all a listing of the laws. This was a list of laws given to the nation of Israel. There are some people still believe today that we're supposed to follow all these laws, but they were for the nation of Israel. We're Christians. We're following the Lord and what He applies to our lives today through the New Testament. So, but these are things we can learn from, especially as we learn about the way our God wants to treat people. In Leviticus 19, verse 32, He told the people of Israel, rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord. Again, there, rise in the presence of the aged, show respect to the elderly. I have seen over the years a number of older people, and you have too, that have had a measure of respect to them all the days of their lives. People just were in awe of them. But unfortunately, we've also seen a number of seniors, older people, who get no respect. A Rodney Dangerfield type thing, I get no respect. They are treated like useless. They're shoved off into corners. Family just wants to park them away somewhere. All those type things go on. We see some of them when we're riding around town. Some of the older people in my neighborhood, for example, they're on bikes. A couple older gentlemen I know of, they ride around the neighborhood on their bicycles getting their exercise. I always try to greet them and pay respect to them. And those type things, other people, kids just laugh at them sometimes, make fun of them. Kids often repeat what they've learned from other people in the home. So you wonder sometimes the way they treat somebody like that, is that the way they heard that people should be treated in their house? We're told to make sure that, again, here it says, to rise in the presence of the aged and show respect for the elderly. Now, it was a long time ago. The time has passed in many ways for a lot of things. But, for example, if you may notice today, I'm dressed a little different. You may not have noticed. Okay. All right. I'm dressed a little different today. I dressed this way in honor of Senior Citizens Day. If I took you on the internet and brought up the live presentations of many churches today, many of our churches, if I brought you up, this is not the standard uniform. Okay, this is not the standard uniform for the pulpit. Most of them have a little glass pulpit or a glass table. They sit down at a chair. They got their little coffee cup or they got their water jug. And they got relaxed pants. And I'm not faulting any of them. Don't get me wrong. I'm just telling you what the difference is in this modern era versus what it once was. They have the more relaxed corduroy pants or dungarees on. Shirt tails usually have. A lot of times when they're preaching, they'll just do like this. I was taught never to put my hands in the pocket at all. Those type things. It's just very relaxed. Now, you can't complain because people are coming in droves to be a part of their congregations. It's not all the preacher, obviously, but they're coming in droves because they like the feel. They like the relax. Don't you love those commercials on TV? When you hear them on TV or you hear it on the radio, you'll be in the shower having a good old time, relaxing and enjoying your shower. All of a sudden on the radio it says, such and such church, we want you to come as you are. I don't think they necessarily meant that at the moment for me, but just come as you are. And part of that is because people are so turned off by religion. What they have seen is this. They've seen someone like Ron Stewart put on a three-piece suit and go to church and come home. They've seen that. And they think that's what they've got to do. But then they find out the real Ron Stewart over the years. Maybe he is abusive to his family. Maybe he is a yeller and a screamer as a neighbor. Maybe he is at business, he's figured out how to trick people and get over on people. They've learned a long time ago, it is not the outfit that makes a Christian. It is the washing of Jesus Christ's blood of their lives that makes them Christians. So we need to make sure, I don't care if you wear your best suit possible, or you ladies, if, you know, you go back, you want to really go back in time, see how they used to dress, and when they came to church, I mean, it was an all-day effort just to get into some of those outfits. Okay? People would do that. They would come dressed to the T and then go out and act like the devil the rest of the day and the week. So it's not the outfit. It's It's who you are in Christ. And a lot of these ministers have a very genuine way of living, and they're able to draw people to hear them preach and teach the gospel. But out of honor today to a lot of seniors here, you grew up seeing what I see here, people wearing their best, the best they had to church. So I put this on today. You should notice I didn't have it on a while ago. So we went through a quick change out there. I appreciate the drama over the years teaching me how to do quick changes. Going back to our text, which is more important than some of the rambling, rise in the presence of the aged. We don't do that much. When an older person steps in a room, people don't usually stand up, do they? I was even taught when a lady entered a room, what should you do? Yeah. If you're on a bus and a lady gets on the bus and there's no seats, what were you taught to do? Yeah, let her have the seat. You were taught that. If you're in a room, Dad taught me early on, a couple times thumping on the back of the head is what it took. But if we're all seated in seats there, and older people came in and there was no seats, it didn't matter if it was man or woman or whatever, you got up and let the older people have the seats. So you showed respect. This is a biblical concept, to show respect. Now, I want to share some passages of Scripture with you. For those of you that are fast with your Bibles, you'll move pretty quick. Some of you, you'll catch up as time goes on. But turn to 1 Timothy in the New Testament, right after 1 and 2 Thessalonians. You'll come to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I want to share some passages about how we should understand older people, what we should be doing. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, the very first two verses, Timothy is a young man. He's being instructed by Paul, who's an older man, but he is not elderly, but he's an older man. And he's instructing Timothy on how he should conduct some of his ministry. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, and then older women, treat them as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. When you treat somebody as if they're your mom or your dad, obviously that should be showing respect, right? If you don't respect your mom and dad, you're not going to respect older people. You're being taught from early on to pay respect to an older person. And Timothy here is being reminded, when you preach, make sure you're telling people this. The book of Proverbs, which is just before the book of Psalms, just after the book of Psalms, before you correct me on that. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs was written by Solomon, and they're a collection of a lot of good sayings, good observations. They've been elevated to the level of Scripture, obviously. God wanted to make sure they were here for His people to read. But Proverbs 16:31 says, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by what? A righteous life. Now, some of us know some older people that maybe we wonder how righteous they were. But he's emphasizing here, you've lived a long life because you've been basically a good person. Back then, if you got into an argument with somebody may take you out. So for you to have gray hair and live for quite a while is a good sign. Now, you notice what it says again there, that gray hair is a crown of splendor. A lot of us are starting to wear our crowns real well. The way you know it's for me, that it's a righteous life for me, is all of you can note my halo burn. If you didn't, get it explained to somebody, okay? Now, again, he points out, he says, a long life lived in the Lord is a sign of a righteous life, because God didn't see fit to take you out of this world too early. Now, we also know God has an appointed time for everybody, and some of His best workers, He's already retired to home. In Proverbs 20, verse 29, it says the glory of a young man is their strength. And you see a lot of young bucks all just showing off how strong they are and how mighty they are, whatever. But as you notice here, as verse 29 concludes, gray hair is the splendor of the old. Now, some people don't like gray hair. And so what do they do to their hair to make sure we know that they don't have gray hair? But still, It's a sign of respect. It's a sign of age. There are three passages in Job, Job 8, Job 12, and Job 32. I'm not going to turn to them right now. But again, they emphasize this same thought, that we need to pay respect to the older people. We need to listen. They have words of wisdom that we need to learn from them. We need to see how they have faced life's challenges and then apply it to our lives as well. Deuteronomy 32, verse 7, in the Old Testament here, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7, is a passage I want you to see. Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law. That's where it comes from. Deuteronomy 32, verse 7. He says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father and he will tell you. Your elders and they will explain to you." This is instructions to us younger people of various ages that we need to pay attention to the older people who have gone through life's challenges. They've gone through the struggles. They have the experiences to share with us. In the military, as a young 20-year-old coming into a company and being assigned to a platoon, there was nothing like having a good E7 platoon sergeant who's been around for 20 years. He's in his late 30s or early 40s, and he knows his stuff. Since I was assigned to an automotive maintenance company and don't know the first thing about automotive maintenance, it was important that I had good people. And CW4 Jack Werner, in the National Guard, you can stay longer than you could in the active, and he was up in his 50s, CW4, he ran an organizational maintenance shop, an OMS, as well as being in our unit, and he was our automotive tech in the company. Every time there was an automotive question, who did I turn to? I didn't show off and say, "Well, I know that answer," or anything like that. No. "Mr. Werner, can you give the answer to that? Or Sergeant Bear, do you know what's going on there?" I wasn't afraid to turn to anybody because they have the experience. Why put on a show? The points out here, it's the same way when it comes to life, in all aspects of life. Talk to the older people with what they've been through. You know, don't let your counselor be your bartender. You know, hey, don't let that happen. Don't let your counselor be your next door neighbor who knows everybody else's business. Make sure you're talking to the older people who've been through things, and especially the spiritual older people. In Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 15, give a chance to turn to that. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 15. What we have here is this: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy, and then Joshua is the first book after this one. Joshua 14, picking up in verse 6. And if you read through there, what's basically happened is this. Caleb was one of the spies. Now, I hope you've been around Bible long enough to know that there were 12 spies sent by Joshua, or by Moses, sorry, into the promised land to check it out. They came back, 10 of them said, "Them people are bad in there. There's too much going on in there. We don't need to mess with them. We're going to get ourselves killed." But Joshua and Caleb said, "No, God said that's our property. We can go in there. God's going to deliver." So Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the 12 that were allowed to live. That whole generation that listened to the 10 spies also died off. So a new generation goes in. So Joshua's leading them in, and Caleb's his right-hand man. Well, if you read this passage real carefully, Joshua was about 40 years old when they got to the edge of the promised land. Now it's 45 years later. Now, I'm no math whiz, but I can add 40 and 45. And I can get 85, which is the age of my father right now, who's battling Parkinson's. And it's an age of a lot of other people that I've known. Buck Huffman, when we were working on renovating the fellowship hall, we took out the false wall there, restored it the way it was, and put the baptistry in here. But while we were doing some of those things, Buck was up there on a ladder working, 84 years old, up there working. I'm impressed. And then later he's up in the attic working. He was not up there at 89, though. Somewhere between 84 and 89, the toll caught up with him. My dad told me at 75, he was doing pretty good. He said, but there was something about 75 beyond that just took the toll on him, just not had to be able to do it. So for this man to be 85 years old is impressive. And what he says to Joshua is, "That's my property over there. That's what God said we can have. Let me go and take some troops, and I will conquer that part." And he goes in, and with God's will, he does it. 85 years old. He's not sitting down quitting. He knows that God will deliver, and he goes and delivers. Still has the energy to do some things. Well, there are basically four things briefly, real brief, that I want to share with you about growing old. Based on what we've looked at with these passages, based on what we looked at with our recognition of our senior citizens, and that's this. Whatever age you are still useful. You are still useful. If you happen to find yourself in a nursing home, read your Bible to someone next to you. If they allow you, sing songs. If you still can, write letters of encouragement. If they allow you to have your phone, send text messages. Make phone calls. If you're allowed to get on the email, do that. Encourage. Keep finding ways to be useful. You don't have to reach the point that you're no longer useful. I mentioned Miss Evelyn Sproul. She was 90 years old when she passed away in the nursing home there in Elizabeth City. She went there about 4 or 5 years earlier. She knew it was going to be a burden on her parents, on her son, to take care of her. And she didn't want to put that burden on him and his wife. So she decided to go into nursing home probably before she needed to. And then as she began to not be able to get around as much, she was in the wheelchair. She used to roll herself all over the place and go into different rooms and just be an encourager. Talk to anybody who wanted to talk. And if somebody brought her stuff and she wasn't sure what to do, she found somebody that needed it. You see what I'm saying? Right up to the very end, she was being useful. Seniors can be useful. And I shared with you some of the things that our seniors do. I really appreciate it. Last Sunday was probably Miss Pat McClure's last time with us. I didn't think she'd be here last Sunday. Ron and Peggy were nice enough to go pick her up and bring her. And Carol Rogers wanted, and Carol, you know, again, you heard her age mentioned. She wanted to take Miss Pat home to eat and everything else. So they went out to eat and then went home. Here's Miss Carol. She's not a baby. She's not what we used to say, what is a spring chicken? You know? But here she was, caring about someone else. Still useful. You see what I'm saying? Miss Flora Smithson, every week, comes to Bible study. And she gets the list that we have prepared for birthdays and anniversaries this week. If you don't get one, it's probably because I haven't done a good job getting all the information about your birthdays and anniversaries to her. But she sits there and takes those cards, and she makes sure they're mailed out. Again, you heard her age a while ago. What, 87, 88? Something like that? 86? I can't remember. Okay. It's happening. But she does what she can every week. And she lets me know when she's getting low on stuff. She doesn't say, well, if he don't remember, I'm not going to worry about it. She's useful. So seniors are useful. They're also a wealth of experience. Over the years, Carol and I have not had the perfect marriage. I know we look like the ideal couple. And I know you can tell by the way I joke with her and her reaction to it that we've had our moments. Okay? She's not the jokester. I am. She's the quiet person. I'm partially that way. All right? You guys are paying attention. All right? What I've done over the years is I've sat back and watched the way some of the other people treat each other. The way a husband still holds a hand for somebody. Even after all these years. Johnny and Desi Rose down there at Gum Neck. They celebrated their 80th wedding anniversary. All right. Now, they're deceased now, but when I was down there, they celebrated their 80th wedding anniversary. And while she'd had a stroke, they're 97, 98 years old, she'd had a stroke. He came in off the tractor from the farm, sits down with her, makes sure she's fed, wipes her hair. And what does that do for a young man who says, you know, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until death do us part? What does that teach us? So I watch some of the older couples and the love they have for each other and things. And that's how we learn. You're a wealth of experience. You teach us all kinds of things. Not just about marriage, but life, how to raise our kids, all kinds of things. And you're worthy of our respect. You're worthy of our respect. God asks us to give it to you, but you're worthy of it. There's a lot of nice older people, aren't there? And we always joke about when you get older, they just blurt out what they're going to say. But there's a lot of nice older people. They're very kind, they're very compassionate, they're very caring. They're worthy of our respect. But even if they get a little out there, we need to give them respect. Having to help Miss Pat. I did not want to be in this position. I didn't want to be in this position for anybody. But she feels like she just cannot rely on other people in her family. So she asked me and another person to see to her care in her final years. I made sure, you know, I go over there. If something's not quite right, I want to keep her dignity. So I call up Carol. I say, Carol, can you come and take care of this matter? And she'll come over and do that because she still deserves her dignity, you know. They deserve our respect. Miss Ada Hart, been gone for a long time. She was in the nursing home up there, Millsboro, Delaware. They announced in church one day about her being there and not a whole lot of people visiting. I'm working the 4 to 12 shift at the prison. So I figure, I usually report in about 20 of the time I get in and everything. I said, if I can leave maybe 20 minutes earlier than I'm used to living, I can go by and see her and just read the Bible to her. Now, at the time, I guess I was 26 years old. Didn't know this lady from anybody. But one of the greatest memories I'll ever have in my life is sitting there side of Miss Ada, reading a Bible to her and seeing a smile on her face. Giving her respect. Giving her honor. We've got to do this with all our older people. Teach your children well on these things. And then lastly, I want to just point out, understand if you're old, and I mean, I'm right there with you, getting there every day. When you're old, understand it's been a privilege to live this long. God has given you many days to serve. He's still placed a few more in front of you, but He's given you a lot of days to serve Him. And it's been a privilege to do that. So keep understanding as older people that we need to respect that privilege and use our days wisely. Redeem the time wisely. We often say, I don't know where the time went. I don't know where my time went. The years have rushed by. And I don't remember first grade anymore. I can remember just barely Miss Lewis, the teacher, but I don't remember first grade. I have a little picture in my mind of me carrying the satchel with the band around my shoulder and neck for second grade, Miss Vickers. But I can't picture Miss Vickers anymore. I can't tell you who my classmates were in second grade. Third grade, Mrs. Bennett. All I remember was that she had an orchard up at her house. Mrs. Tingle, fourth grade. I don't remember anything about it. Miss Hudson, fifth grade. I do remember the ruler getting hit over my head and it breaking, which brought me a certain sense of satisfaction. I do remember a volcano that we built as a class and it bubbling over, but I don't remember the rest of the time. Sixth grade, Mr. Faulkner. I can remember getting my first school spanking after I hit him with an eraser. He turned me upside down in front of the class and change went everywhere, and he thumped me pretty good. Seventh grade, Mr. Carney was our principal. I remember getting in trouble a little bit there. I remember having my feet operated on and having to wear slippers. And then I put something on Facebook the other day. I want to go to the school dance, and Dad said, you can't go unless you take a girl. My little smiles will stab me in my heart. But I got up the courage and asked a girl. Her name was Penny Layton. I can't remember much about her, except she talked all the time. And I can keep right on going. What I'm saying is all those days that we thought were so important, so special, we only get a little bit of memory. So it's important that we put our treasures in heaven. If you got a chance to live 85 years, 90-some years, or 70 years, whatever it is, give it to the Lord, because that's who's going to remember every day of your life. Seniors, thank you for your service. You have our admiration, you have our respect, and you have our honor. Please continue to lead us in the way that we should go. Our invitation hymn today is hymn number...
Jesus is calling you. You need to respond to Him. You need to believe Jesus is the Christ. You need to believe that with all your heart, soul, and mind. Every ounce of your being needs to believe that He is the Christ. Because if you believe that, nothing can hold you back from serving. But you need to believe that. Repent of your sins. Confess Him as Lord of your life. We believe the New Testament teaches immersion. Because on the day of Pentecost, when the people asked what they should do, Peter said, repent and be baptized. So if you want today, come. We will baptize you into Christ. What happens at baptism? You'll be clothed with Christ. Your sins will be washed away. Your name will be written in Lamb's Book of Life. You'll be part of the church of God for all time. For those of you that are already immersed believers, but sin comes some way back into your life, you've turned your life over to Satan again for some reason, you're following the ways of the world, whatever it may, whatever terms you want to use. I know you're not happy in that state. You can't be. It's got to be an inner turmoil. Repent of whatever sin it is you're committing and ask God for forgiveness. As an immersed believer, you have access to the throne of grace and mercy. He'll grant it. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. Some of you are immersed believers which haven't placed your fellowship with us yet. Consider doing that. Come, place your fellowship. And for the rest of us, we need to kick ourselves in gear. There's places we need to serve. There's things that need to be done. We need to push hard in our prayer life. We need to push hard in our Bible study life. We need to get ourselves on fire in our personal walk with Him and in our church walk with Him.